What's going on? This is Dis One with Submission, sitting here with the one and only Headhunter, also known as Addison Groove.
Good evening, morning, evening.
And yeah, we got a chance to ask some questions. First of all, how the travels, man? How's everything on the road going?
I have been in America for about a week and a half now. So I went to Vancouver, Montreal, where it was super cold, San Francisco last night, and tomorrow I head to Austin.
Nice.
For a few days. So not too many, not too intense. I've had time to have some fun. Just try food, places.
Yeah.
San Francisco was nice and warm. And yeah, I was in New York as well. So.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I've been around and it's been nice. Nice kind of week or two.
Nice. Well, I mean, first of all, I know a lot of people were asking me to ask you, because you're a BMX pro for a little bit.
Well, the more I DJ and the longer this DJing malarkey goes on, the less I go out on my bike. However, I do still have my bike, and I can still do the tricks I used to do, I think.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
I used to love it. I used to travel around the UK, I used to ride my bike, I had a little crew, a couple of friends, we go to competitions, we go to jams. We just did flatland, like freestyle.
Yeah.
Nothing too intense on the boom. So, because I kind of got, I was a skateboarder, then I went to BMX and quite late, like I would say age 19, 20.
Okay.
But I loved it.
Was that around the same time you were kind of starting to dab with music?
I started producing music around 19. So yeah, I would say it's the same time. But then I kind of stopped producing music at 21, 22. I don't know. Music was, it was like either drum and bass or nothing. So I was really into drum and bass at that time. Was it like 1998 or something like this? And drum and bass was just really hard to make and it was uninspiring, but thankfully a couple of years later I discovered dubstep and I was still riding my bike then, around the age of 24, found dubstep and I was like, oh my god, this is shit, and started making that stuff, and I kind of made it at the same time as me still being a BMX rider, but then you get to a point where one thing is going to take over, and thankfully, you know, I'm really happy the music did,
so yeah.
I still love it to this day, I love it as much as I did then. In fact, I love it more now.
Yeah.
It's like a good relationship, you know?
Yeah.
Like, the longer it goes on, the more you learn, the more shit you find out. It's really nice, yeah.
That's awesome, man.
But I still have a very big interest in skating and BMX
yeah.
Riding. Instagram's good for that.
Yeah.
Follow a bunch of shit on Instagram, man.
Was the lifestyle, like, similar? As, like, traveling as an athlete, same as a musician, and just cruising around?
It wasn't the same because I wasn't really getting paid for it.
Yeah, so. That makes a difference.
And also the traveling was like, it was like on the weekend, we just drive up somewhere. It was just UK based, we just jump in the car, drive up 100 miles up the road and you're somewhere else. This is a different thing where I'm traveling around the world on an airplane.
Yeah,
and
bigger scale.
It's harder. Sometimes, I love what I do, but it gets hard sometimes because you got to land and you're supposed to be like, right, party mode. And if you've just done a party the night before and the night before that, I think some of your brain cells are missing, you know?
That comes with the territory.
I know, all right, come on, let's power through this. But you know what, I'm never going to complain, man. If I complain, I deserve not to have this job.
Yeah, exactly. So, you're Headhunter, we went to Addison Groove, and now we're getting some Truzik releases. Was there like kind of a plan for you to do this, or did you just kind of all fall together?
The Truzik guys, I've always just kind of, I've stayed in touch with them because they did an interview with me a couple of years ago. They just emailed me, hey, we'd like to do an interview with you. A lot of our followers are fans. Okay, awesome. So that's how I kind of got meeting up with them. And then about a year ago, they just hit me up and said, hey, youngster played this track of yours. Is it coming out? Kind of forgot. I made this tune 3 years ago. I just forgot I made it. You know, Dan plays, they say, oh, can we put it out? I'm thinking, well, why not? What have I got to lose? So the record comes out, and it does good. All the units sell, and I'm like, wow, people are still into this sound, you know? So it was kind of like, I just aimed for that to happen, but it happened, and now I'm in a position where I'm kind of made a couple of other tunes, and that's why I'm here tonight, to play some of my new stuff, right?
Yeah, because you were here not too long ago, either.
But Nicole's got the face with the head on her side, which
I
love. And hopefully, yeah, I'm going to keep making some new stuff. So I got a release coming out soon as well. So,
awesome.
Hopefully I can see that though.
With the two aliases, is there one you enjoy to play more than another? Or?
Well, I don't do enough as a headhunter to know. So, obviously, I did headhunter from the years of, like, let's say, 2006 to 2010. That's the years I was headhunter, and yeah. I enjoyed it. But by 2010, I was getting bored of dubstep. I noticed dubstep sound changed, man. It became a bit aggressive.
Yeah.
It was still guys in the dance, you know, and I think I wanted more. If you do something for 4 or 5 years, you start hearing different types of music, and this is where the footwork thing came in.
Yeah.
What footwork did to me was it made me learn about other music styles of music. Not just footwork, but where would they sample their music from? They sampled their music from disco, so I started getting into disco.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a disco producer, but I started liking this kind of music, and I realized that I like so much music that just so happened that I haven't made this before in a dubstep crossover track in 2010 that gave me the ability to go and play DJ sets that were not just dubstep.
Yeah.
And I wanted that for myself, for my mind, just to feel good. And I didn't want to just say fuck dubstep, it's no good, that's always going to be part of me, but
yeah.
I'm always just experimenting with all new stuff, and it was a new avenue and a new thing to go down. So.
Yeah, and I had somebody ask me, like, because I mean, I don't know why they asked me, maybe because I listened to a lot of the music. But why separate the aliases and not just produce under one? And I know, just as an artist myself, yeah. I can explain, you know, it's kind of hard to differentiate and, like, kind of point out to, like, oh, are you going to go to a show and hear, you know, is he going to play this or is he going to play that? Whereas if you're two different people, like, it's kind of a little bit easier to...
It's much easier.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I know tonight's dubstep party. So, it makes me go, right, well, let's go into that genre, whereas my Addison Groove stuff isn't a genre. I play that dubstep in my Addison Groove set, as well as, let's say, drum and bass style stuff, that half step drum and bass, and then we can go down to, like, I even play Afrobeat now.
Oh, I love that.
This is why I do love doing Addison Groove shit, because I can play what the hell I want, as long as the crowd are on my side, which they usually are, I can play what I want, but then it is also being nice to come out and play just one thing. I miss doing that too. I'll tell you what I miss the most. This is what I miss the most about not being headhunter. It's the sound system.
Yeah.
So the Addison Groove stuff's cool, but they put you in the clubs and the sound systems were, like, not great. And after a couple of years down the line on that, I'm like, where's the sound system gone? Well,
so is that, like, a key difference between the two aliases?
Yeah, I mean, it's the difference between reggae and techno.
Yeah.
Let's say it's like that. Really.
What about, like, scene-wise? How different are the crowds or the promoters?
The crowds are quite different. When I do the Addison Groove stuff, it feels a bit more mixed, and you don't really know. You could look at the crowd and you wouldn't know what they're into. Because you've only got all types of ages as well.
Yeah.
And I feel like the dubstep stuff is quite smoky, heavy. it's a definite sort of crowd, but I like the dubstep crowd. They're not aggressive, man.
Yeah.
They're nice, and they are really into the music.
Yeah.
But more so than when I play as my Addison Groove stuff. I feel they come out because they're going to see me, some other people play. It's just kind of like an all-round night. But
yeah.
The dubstep stuff, they're super heady. And I'm a nerd myself, you know?
So, like, after, you know, you're traveling around for a while, are there certain cities that respond more to the Headhunter stuff, the Addison Groove stuff?
Yeah. Right, Addison Groove stuff works in places like Chicago.
Yeah.
But I just went and played in Vancouver last week at a party called Bass Coast. They do a festival, and they did, like, a party in a venue called Open Studios. And it was an Addison Groove party. But I did my kind of routine where I started at 120, and about half an hour in, I got to 140, and I noticed that that's what they fucking wanted.
Yeah.
So I was like, all right, you guys are going to get a headhunter set now. So I just played, for the rest of the set, I pretty much played dubstep.
Awesome.
Now they dug it up. So it was really nice, because, like, I know a lot of people there knew me as headhunter, because I played at Bass Coast as headhunter. So they kind of, like, they were just down, man. With the dubstep, and that was cool. So I kind of used all my different genres to figure out what they were into, and then I was like, yes, okay, you guys are locked into this, I'm gonna give you this. And that was a nice difference, even though I just do it as
a
group.
And have you noticed a difference of that when you played here in Denver as both?
I've only really played here once, I think, as Addison Groove.
Yeah.
And I think I would prefer to come here and play as Addison Groove.
I
want to play to a crowd that eats it up, I do.
Yeah.
Here, they they are into that shit. And it makes me try. Funny thing is, I get sent a lot of music, but I don't get sent much stuff these days. So the last couple of weeks, I've been hitting up people like, yo, how can I? But thankfully, I've got two new Headhunter tunes I've made. I'm going to release real soon.
Oh, nice.
So Youngster's been playing them. So I've been getting actually other producers have been emailing me. Let's say like Compa, for example, or Jay Kenzo, like they've been emailing, and that's a bunch of other people. They've been emailing me, yo, what's this tune now? Youngster's playing. Oh, there you go, this tune, and then they'll bounce me back with something. I'm like, this has come out a good time.
Yeah.
So yeah, like, I got, it's nice to get a couple of dubs off some friends that come by here and play tonight.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. So, I mean, you've been to Denver a good amount.
Countless amount of time.
Is there any one moment or memory from Denver that kind of sticks out, like, in your head?
There was one time I remember really well, but it was because of the friends I was with. So it was me, DJ G, XI, and Distal on the lineup. It was it was in the big room.
Oh, the ballroom?
Yeah, and it was a wicked night. It's a wicked, everything about it, like the party was cool, we played some good music, everyone got down to it, and then after we just kind of hung out together, and it was one time we were all together, and I remember that for the whole vibe of the whole feeling, and Nicole and stuff.
Yeah,
I remember that one really well.
That's awesome.
As a good memory, man, friends. I've never had a bad time coming to Denver. Every time I've come, it's been good. Can't complain.
So, tequila. Nicole told me you're quite the connoisseur. Like, what's your flavor? What's your favorite? So, if you have a few, like, for certain occasions.
I'll tell you a story.
Alright.
This is kind of crazy. Right, so your followers will know who Pinch is.
Yes.
Completely. Pinch is one of my best friends. Really, really good friend of mine. 2 years ago, we were both in Mexico. And we didn't know what mezcal was. We had 5 days in Mexico. We were playing at a party in Mexico City. So we had 5 days, so we're just like, okay, let's try this mezcal shit. We already love whiskey. We love whiskey. We're like crazy on that shit. So we started drinking mezcal, and we're like, man, this is good. We should do something with mezcal. Like, imagine if you got mezcal, but you like had aged it the same way as whiskey. Like, get some whiskey barrels. Mezcal. Well, we're like 2 years down the line now, and we have a product ready to sell in bottles in my kitchen.
What?
Yeah, we've aged mezcal, and we're ready to sell it. And we were going to sell it back in December. We approached a couple of people asking for their help, like websites.
Yeah.
We're going to use our names to. And they were interested. They're like, we'll announce it when you announce your drink. And then we had another idea. We're like, yeah, you know what? We're probably going to approach it a little bit differently and maybe try a bit of a crowdfunding kind of. So far we have a product. It's branded. It tastes really fucking good. We're just slowly working the way on how to get it to the public.
Nice.
So that's how far into mezcal and tequila we are. We've gone to the point where we actually make it.
That's awesome. What's it called?
Mezqui.
Mezqui? I like it.
It's like whiskey and mezcal.
I'm going to keep my eye out for that. I like that.
Cool. It's a bit of a weird one, kind of, because we're making it in the UK. Sending alcohol to America is a bit of a grey area unless you've got a good distributor. So, and that's one of the things that we're doing, you know? So we're looking at all these different things that we've got to do to sell this drink that we make.
Awesome. Well,
definitely
keep
my eye out. At the moment, it's just a dumpling.
Yeah, man.
It's just a dumpling in my kitchen. Like, if you come around my house, I might give you a bit back.
So you hear that? You got to make your way out.
Yeah.
You want to get it.
Hit me up if you want some messages.
So, I mean, what artists or labels have you been following? Is there anyone like you think that we should keep our eyes out for?
Oh, well, my musical tastes change by the hour, but I'm really into, like, because what I could say that I'm into is probably different to what your followers are into. I'm like already into African and Haitian and South American music from the 50s. I'm digging shit like that at the moment, but it doesn't mean I'll play it. But in terms of like what I'm playing in the club, oh man, I always got my ear to the guys in Bristol.
Yeah.
Hodge, what Pinch is putting out. In fact, I was on that label 50 Weapons, and a friend of mine on that label, Phono, hit me up recently, and he was like, hey, do you know anywhere I can put these two tunes? I said, oh, I think Pinch might like them. So Pinch took the tracks, and I think it's the next Tectonic release. He's like a label buddy of mine. So yeah, so next Tectonic release is a really cool record by Phono. Guy from Bristol, Factor. I like some of the stuff he does. Even Joker has some new stuff.
Oh yeah, no, I've heard some of the new Joker.
So I'm keeping my kind of ear local, man, and I know these guys, they're friends. Keep an eye out. They've already been around for a while, but their new stuff is wonderful.
So you got any future plans just for Headhunter or Addison?
Yeah, so I sent four tracks off from Mastering Masters, but there's two Headhunter tracks that I gave to a youngster about 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I know he played it on Rinse the other day.
Yeah.
I think he played it here too. And that's good enough confirmation for me to release it. So I sent off the pressing. I'm going to put it out myself. I'm going to make it a Transistor release, which is an old label I used to have. I only did 3 releases. So this one will be a Transistor 4, and it'll be my new Headhunter thing. It's kind of like, it's still dubstepy, but it's still techno-y. And I'm trying to find these kind of what's around now within that kind of dubstep techno genre.
Yeah.
I'm not finding a lot. So I see a little opening there. I think I've got a little place that I can fit.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm gonna put a head on a record eye, and did a remix for Amit.
Oh, nice.
The tune is called Operator. That's gonna come out as well. What else have I got? Pretty sure I'm missing something out, but hey man, there's enough. that's what's definitely coming out real soon, those two things.
Sweet, we'll keep our eyes out.
Cool man.
For sure. And then we always ask everybody this, but here in Denver, submission, we got our own our dot mission of what we're doing. What would you say is your dot mission just within the scene from being around for so long? Because you're you were there, during the beginning.
I think the most important thing for me is that I have the ability and power to educate. So when I play to a lot of people. I feel like my job is to hopefully put at least 10% of the crowd onto something that they've never heard before. And they can walk away and go, what the fuck was that? And then they can do a bit of digging. So I feel like I just want to be an educator of the music.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Thanks for sitting with me, man.
Thank you.
I'm stoked to see your set later.
Cool. I'm gonna enjoy it very much.
Cool, man. Any last shout outs? Anything else?
Of course, I want to give a big shout out to all the submission crew,
awesome.
all the crowd as well, and anyone listening to this recording. Thanks for your time.
Awesome. All right. We'll catch you guys later. Peace.